Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to The Lob, your home of in-depth coverage and analysis by These Football Times, a movement of journalism you can trust. Each week, we endeavour to bring you the very best coverage of the game, exploring stories from the past and present with analysis by expert guests from around the world. Find more of our award-winning content online and in print. In the meantime, enjoy the podcast.
Hello and welcome back to Icons, a podcast brought to you by These Football Times. We are celebrating another icon in our series today, and we are recording this on video, and the man opposite me, Gary Thacker, is wearing his collar high for this next icon in the series. Gary, who are you talking about today?
There's only one with a collar turned up, and that's Eric Cantona. For Man United fans, like God. For other people who supported other teams, perhaps they'd look at it with a different point of view. But as iconic footballers go, even in a club like Manchester United, who had so many stars, this guy stands out as a true icon of football, certainly that in that earlier era of the 90s.
As a 90s kid, Gary, that I am, and having written a book about the 94-95 season, this episode could well go into the double figures in terms of hours, because I could talk about this player forever. But Eric Cantona was such an iconic figure in the Premier League. But as a bit of a teaser, why is he so iconic and still remembered now?
I guess he was so spectacularly individual. He had that presence about him that made him appear to be special, and it was special. But I think, you know, players who have joined teams and had success, it was, and I won't say he didn't do anything as a player because he did massive things as a player, but he also had that, he gave the rest of the team that belief. And they bought him for top halfpenny from Leeds, as great players, you know, go. It was a steal. I think they paid £1 million for him. It was almost a steal. And this is a guy who'd come to Sheffield Wednesday and had a trial under Trevor Francis. And Trevor Francis, I'm not sure, can he come back again next week? Well, Eric Cantona was a kind of guy who was not going to give you two chances to turn him down. And that's that belief in his own ability, the confidence, that winning mentality was very much what he took to Manchester United. And it was that final piece in the Manchester United jigsaw that made Ferguson's side so dominant in that period.
And his influence on 90s football in England was a little bit different to his influence in French football, wasn't it? He certainly made the headlines wherever he went, didn't he? Had one or two run-ins and things like that. So sort of in terms of context of Cantona, why was he like that? Why was he kind of causing all these problems in France for various managers? And then obviously comes to England and has two quite strict managers in Howard Wilkinson and Sir Alex Ferguson. What was the personality of a man like Cantona?
That's a great question. I think strong is the first answer, what kind of personality he was, and didn't suffer who he considered to be fools gladly. He was certainly, you know, as the French say, an enfant terrible in France. It was the classic moment that he was brought before the French FA, as he was several times, for certain misdemeanours. And rather than saying, you know, I'm really sorry, it won't happen again, basically we called all the members of the disciplinary committee, sack the mayor, bags of shit. And that didn't really help him avoid a suspension. But that was Cantona. There again, his international performances for France. He didn't play that many times. And perhaps if he'd have been a little bit more pliable, shall we say. But I don't think it's anything he'd ever change, because that's who he was. And it's interesting you say when he came to England, and certainly with Howard Wilkinson, a very uncompromising manager, you wonder how long he would have lasted at Leeds. Won the title, obviously, with Leeds in the first his first season there. And then legend has it, and how true it is, I don't know, that there was a conversation going on between Wilkinson and Ferguson about signing Dennis Irwin. I think Leeds would have signed Dennis Irwin. And Ferguson wouldn't sell. And basically, he said, OK, well, basically, thanks, guys. And before, oh, what about Cantona? Would you be interested in selling Cantona? And Wilkinson said, well, I'll ring you back. I'll ring you back shortly afterwards. Now, there's talk that Cantona was having a relationship with one of the players. Well, I was here, whether that's true, I don't know. But you wouldn't be surprised if it was, because that was the sort of guy he was, I guess. But, you know, that was the sort of way he ended up at Manchester United. And then he seemed, you sort of, if you put those two together, you think that ain't going to work. But it dovetailed perfectly. And his character, his personality, his presence was exactly the thing that Manchester United needed to sort of kick them on to the dominance that they had. In France, he was only liked by the fans of the teams he played for, and then not all of them, because he would fall out with people. But certainly he had great success at Leeds and magnificent success at Old Trafford. And, you know, this time of year, they'll be singing, you know, five Cantonars, four Cantonars, three Cantonars on the Stretford end. And that's how much he's still revered at Manchester United.
What I always find interesting about Cantona, when he signs for Manchester United, it looks like a genius move now. But at the time, it didn't seem like the last piece of the jigsaw. Obviously, United and Leeds had gone for the title in 91-92. Leeds had pipped them to the post. United had loads of games in hand and a big fixture congestion at the end of the season. Leeds had kind of been really strong throughout and consistent, took the title from them. And it sort of looked like it might never happen for Ferguson. And it was probably a bit of a risk, wasn't it, actually bringing him to Old Trafford at that point, because it didn't seem like he was going to fit in with that, you know. Ferguson had got rid of people like Paul McGrath, Norman Whiteside. He didn't want, there was still quite a heavy culture of drinking, let's say, at United, but actually he'd removed some players out of it. But Cantona's impact was almost immediate, wasn't it? I looked up some of his stats beforehand. So in that 92-93 season at Leeds, he starts 12 games, scores 6 goals and makes 5, moves to United, starts 21, scores 9 and creates 11. So he was such an impactful player, wasn't he, in that run-in to get Ferguson over the line. And that's when he changes United. Once they get that first title, he gets his feet under the table. And how does he kind of progress, I suppose, from there?
It's really weird. You're absolutely right. What did you say? It was a risk. You look at players that Ferguson had and discarded. I mean, he was sort of a little bit out there, shall we say. I mean, Lee Sharp was the other one who was perhaps was seen as a little bit of, you know, loose cannon, shall we say. And, I mean, no disrespect to Lee Sharp. But he didn't seem like a Ferguson sort of player. And yet, you look at players that he did have there who he persevered with. Roy Keane, for example. There again, another strong personality. Perhaps, you know, you wouldn't see him buckle down. But, I mean, under Ferguson, it worked. You mentioned he'd moved Brian Robson on. But there's other players there as well who had that sort of... David Beckham, who had a bit of a love-hate relationship with Ferguson, but Ferguson knew the value of him. And whether it was amazingly perceptive of Ferguson or it was just a little punt that worked, who can say? But, you know, it's as you say, the success he had there was phenomenal. And it's not just him as a player as well. As I say, he had that personality. And that's one of the famous goals, I can't remember who it was against. It might have been against Leeds or Arsenal, I can't remember, when he chipped from the edge of the area and stood there just sort of looking around. That sort of belief, that was what he gave that team as well. They thought, this is, you know, with Eric, there's nothing we can't do. And, you know, pretty much for a while, that was true.
And one thing I suppose we'll need to talk about, Gary, in that Eric Cantona was in English football from 91-92, and he won the league title with Leeds. 92-93, he won the league title with Manchester United. You see where I'm going? 93-94, he won the league title with Manchester United. 94-95 is the only season that he didn't win a league title with Manchester United, and unfortunately didn't finish the season with Manchester United either. We certainly saw the other side of Eric when his foot was in the chest of a Crystal Palace fan on that fateful January night in 1995. We'd seen him stamp on John Moncur and he'd been sent off for other things, but that really is, I would probably say, the only moment that we saw the French version of Eric Cantona, shall we say?
Yeah, I mean, you say it's the other side of Cantona. I mean, to some extent, I think it's actually the same side of Cantona. It was the guy who doesn't put up with crap or what he perceives to be crap. And, you know, okay, I'm during the court case, and I don't know the guy's name, I can't remember the guy's name, why should we remember him? He apparently said, off, he apparently claimed that he said to Cantona, off you go, Eric, go and have an early bath. Don't be ridiculous, son. Nobody believes you said that. And he obviously gave Cantona a medal, as fans all want to do, especially as, you know, star players in the opposition. And whereas the players would walk past and, you know, smile ruefully or take no notice, Cantona was not that personality. He was, you know, that sort of fierceness came out of him again. And, you know, and he did that. He did the famous kung fu kick. And I don't think really he ever regretted it. It was who he was. Strangely enough, Manchester United fans and a lot of other fans, I mean, I count myself as one, had a little bit of sneaking admiration for not putting up with the crap that some players have to put up with. I remember when Beckham had the, you know, the World Cup sending off and the terrible amounts of abuse and insults and curses he was about his family and all that he had to put up with. And he bore that cross and got through it. But, you know, Cantona was not the sort of guy to let that go. And, you know, I can understand why. And, you know, I can have a measure of sympathy and understanding of why he did it. And it was who he was. It was who he was. He had that, you know, that fierceness about him. And it transported onto the football field to some great performances. But outside the football field as well, he had excesses in other ways, shall we say.
Yeah, and I think that season, especially for Cantona, is a real challenge. But as you say, he doesn't regret any of it.
I'm sure he doesn't.
Not one bit. And I think that side of him is actually quite important because that's what makes him who he is, doesn't it? And that's where, you know, in this series of someone being an icon, that's what makes him very different. And I always found it interesting, you know, after that, the fact that he had such an influence on the young players at United, that class of 92, and he was so supportive, wasn't he, of them and their journey, and you hear about extra training. Do you think, I mean, I know the class of 92 are very much in the media and sort of in the public eye now, but do you think that that side of Cantona's forgotten a little bit about how he was such an integral squad player, and he was a real leader as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think he probably is. Yeah, I think he's probably forgotten a bit in his, because there were so many other things about Cantona that were sort of more in the public eye, that sort of thing does get a little bit, and unfairly forgotten. Yeah, I mean, he had that sort of, his personality didn't suggest he would be that sort of person, but he was. And as you say, you know, he did sort of help a lot of the young players coming through. Yeah, you know, you look back at Manchester United, and they've had some great players in the past, you know, going back, you know, Charlton Best and Laurie, or Brian Robson, Ronaldo, Mark Hughes. I mean, you go on, pick many, many players. I don't think anybody is celebrated this day as much as Cantona is at Manchester United. Nobody ever, it was a different time, but you don't hear them singing about Ronaldo. You don't see five Ronaldos, four Ronaldos. But you do with Cantona, because it was also something, that anger he had in, that fire he had in him, was something that fans could identify with, because that passion was there for them as well as for him. So I think that's, he's certainly not the greatest player at Manchester United. I don't know if he was the greatest player in the team he played in, but he was perhaps the greatest personality, the greatest influence, the greatest, I can't conjure up the right word, but he's the guy who had that ability to make the team a better team as well. But yeah, I mean, there's so much of a sort of dichotomy about the way Cantona is perceived. Great player. Perhaps not the greatest player, well, certainly the greatest player at Manchester United, but certainly a great player. But his perhaps importance was a little bit beyond that as well.
And I think as well, talking about someone as an icon, that comes into it as well, doesn't it? You know, was iconic for that team at that time, with the collar up, the number 7. I always remember that black kit that they're wearing, especially when he's in the crowd at Crystal Palace. He's got so many key moments as well. When he comes back from his ban, he scores a penalty against Liverpool, jumps up the sort of stanchion post behind
the
goal.
That's right,
swings round it. Then against Liverpool in the 96 FA Cup final, he scores that goal that seems to sort of arrow through about 8 bodies and flies into the back of the net. And how many titles did he kind of almost haul United over the line at times, when it felt like every week it was Manchester United win, Cantona scores, Manchester United win, Cantona. There's almost that inevitability that maybe a team like a Newcastle didn't have, you know, when they were challenging United with Ferdinand, Andy Cole and the like. they didn't have, and even Blackburn to a certain extent, I know they won the title in that 94-95 season, but no one in the Premier League had a Cantona-type player. I do wonder, though, what do you think the impact of his lack of international success has on sort of his legacy maybe outside of the Premier League? Because we all know, you know, as football fans of English football, and obviously other football, but primarily English football in the Premier League, he's held up as an icon, a great player. But actually, maybe is that success on the international stage, certainly with United, because obviously in the European Cup, which was the Champions League, they weren't great. They were getting knocked out in group stages. You know, he didn't really play for France. Do you think that impacts his legacy?
Yeah, I think it does. Well, I think outside of England, and particularly outside of Manchester, well, outside of Old Trafford's fans, shall we say, Man City fans probably wouldn't be too impressed. But I think outside of that area, I mean, I don't know who it looks on in France, but I can imagine it's certainly not looked on as the same way they consider, you know, Zidane or somebody like that. I think, yeah, it's, as I said earlier, he's the kind of player who's loved by the fans of the club he plays for. But fans of other clubs perhaps have this sort of, understandably, a less loving approach to him. And he mentioned something that it sort of triggered in my mind. The turning up of the collar made him stand out. It was, he wanted to show, I am Eric Cantona. I ain't these other guys, I'm Eric Cantona. And that sort of dominant personality that you know, I'm the guy, was, as I said, you know, what really worked for Manchester United in that team, and the personality, the, you know, that's that arrogance about it. I can't think of another footballer in England who had that sort of turn the collar up. And I don't know why he did. Well, I don't know why he did it, what it inspired him to do it, but I can understand the sort of pleasure he got from doing it. That sort of, you know, it's a statement. It was a statement of, you know, someone who might have the head shaved, or Beckham had a Mohican, or whatever they're called. But that was Cantona. I am Cantona. My collar's turned up. You know who I am.
And for him, that is his iconic status, isn't it? The impression that he gives to other people about his, you know, impression on the pitch, the way he interacts with the fans, the way he interacts with the players, the referees, all of that comes within it. I suppose, and maybe this is quite hard to describe, he's another player who is quite unique in his playing style, isn't he? Because how would you describe, I mean, how would you describe his playing style or his position or his kind of responsibilities that he had on the pitch?
His responsibility was to make the team win. Stupid thing to say, but that's how we would see it. I'm the guy who's going to make the team win. He's a 9.5, wasn't he? He couldn't say he was a central striker, and yet he had the ability to score goals. I mean, he's a big lad. You know, he was no sort of, you know, shrinking violet. Physically, I mean, certainly not emotionally, but certainly physically as well. But he also had the skill to be the guy who created. You cop to the figures there, you know, as many assists as goals. You know, it'd be a pleasure to play alongside, as long as you don't let him down. Because I bet he's the kind of guy, you know, if you lay you up a chance and you miss one, you know, it might get away. If you miss two, he's going to give you a right earful. So, yeah, I mean, I think he had that. He was the kind of guy who... you know, players wanted to play with him as well, because he created chances. Although Andy Cole had a fairly rough time with him, it just didn't really work. That system didn't really work. Whereas with Dwight York, but that fits that dovetail nicely. But it didn't really work with Cantona. But you know, he had that ability to make players play better. And perhaps he was it almost sounds a bit weird to say, but whether there was a fear of letting him down because he was the guy who was. You know, he's going to create things. And you don't let this guy, because he was a winner. You know, define what he was a winner, and he didn't tolerate things when they didn't go well for him. And this happened so many times. It's the Trevor Francis thing, which the Crystal Palace fan thing, when he was thought he was being wronged in France, he didn't stand for not being a winner. So, yeah, I think his task was to make the team win games, and I think he took that on, you know, and thought, oh, you know, I'm the guy to do it. This is my job. This is what I do, and I will do it well, and he did. And it's interesting to look back. And there again, it's one of these stories that may be apocryphal rather than true, but apparently one of the times when he's thinking of packing it in, he disappeared to Paris. And rumour has it, whether it's true or not, legend has it, I should say, that Ferguson went on the back of a motorbike around Paris trying to find Cantona to persuade him not to pack in. Now, I can't imagine, if that's true, I can't imagine that Ferguson doing that for any other Manchester United player. And that was the sort of value that he had to the team.
And I think that's why you sort of described him as that 9.5. And I think Ferguson did whatever he could to fit Cantona into the team, didn't he? It was kind of, we were starting to see that more continental approach of a withdrawn second striker. You know, it wasn't a little and large strike force where you knock it to the big man, he knocks it, because like you say, Cantona was a big man. It wasn't a knock it to Cantona, he'll knock it down for an Andy Cole or, you know, someone else to run to. But he wasn't a 10, as in he created a lot of goals, but he wasn't a passing creator that you might think of a typical number 10 or a, you know, Brazilian number 10 who might have been small and blessed with incredible dribbling ability. He didn't have a lot of pace, so he wasn't kind of a number 9 in behind. He was such a hybrid player. And credit to Ferguson for maybe seeing that in him, that he could actually fit him within that system they had at United, because obviously they had Kanchelskis and Giggs, who obviously were just rapid, and they could get up and down like nobody's business. And then Ince and Keane behind them, they basically played the same as four central midfielders, those two, because they covered every blade of grass. They were box to box all the time in that sort of classic 90s fashion. And I love the fact that Ferguson just let Cantona be Cantona. And like you said, Gary, a little bit was kind of, he didn't suffer fools. And maybe he didn't think Ferguson was a fool. So actually, you know what? If you give me this little bit of leeway, I'll pay you back in spades and I'll pay you back in league titles. Because a lot of the ex-Man United players say, you couldn't be late unless you were Eric. You couldn't train hard. You had to train hard unless you were Eric. You had to do your sprints or whatever, unless you're Eric. And very much it was kind of, if you're Eric, you could get away with everything. And maybe, you know, Ferguson and Cantona needed each other.
Yeah, I think that's maybe
true. You know, maybe he helped Ferguson a little bit with some of these younger players coming through, saying, you know, maybe don't be as hard on them all the time, because, you know, when I was young and people were hard on me, I didn't like it and I reacted, and, you know, he kind of took them under his wing a little bit, didn't he? So I like how he was used, I suppose, at United. If we jump forward, I suppose, what is there a player that's similar to Cantona in the modern game in terms of style or position, or where could you see Cantona fitting? To be fair, yeah, I know it's an imaginary question, Gary, but I'm not going to put Cantona in this Manchester United team because I would not do that to him.
It'd make him a better team, that's for sure.
That would be off. Poor Cantona. Yeah. Imagine Cantona going to the mess that they'd be in at the minute.
Yeah, I don't know.
What kind of modern system or player is he kind of like, do you think?
That's a good question. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I don't need the realist one. There's players who play a similar role. But I think, as I said, the role he played was just a small part, but not the complete story of Eric Cantona. That sort of attitude, his personality was a big thing as well. And I don't think there's a player now. And I think a lot of it may be because clubs don't want that sort of player now. We're talking about, you know, you get to a massive player, but we've got a player at Chelsea called Palmer who just looks you know, amazing. But not the mentality that Cantona had. The fact that afterwards, I mean, after he retired, he's done films. Not so long ago, I mean, 12 months ago, my daughter's a massive Man United fan, and he did a tour singing, and she went to see him. I mean, this isn't sort of a guy who said, I'm finished with football now, I'm going to commentate on Sky or work on Talksport and talk garbage for half an hour. I mean, this guy wanted to do other things. I say some film, and even now, I think it's on, it might be Twitter, I can't remember. As you scan through, there's an advert that comes up, and it's Cantona. This is today. This is, so we're talking 30 years after this guy was sort of disappearing from football, and his personality. You know, it's them straight away. And this was film about it, wasn't there, about, you know, where's Eric or something, who was Eric Cantona. And if appeared in films, this is the personality of the guy. This was a big personality. And I don't think footballers today have that. There might be someone that I can't think of, but I think the modern game doesn't tolerate it as much as it did, and certainly Ferguson did in the 90s, early 90s.
I think you're right, Gary. I think he was quite a unique player because he, you know, fundamentally he was a forward. He was there to get goals and, like you say, win the game. But actually, when you look at, you know, the game now, there probably aren't many 9.5s out there.
No,
you know, you're either a box player, you know, you're a striker number 9, or you're an old-fashioned number 7 or 11. You know, you're a winger that cuts inside and tries to score goals, or you're kind of that playmaker, you know, Kevin De Bruyne type. Whereas actually, you think, you know, like you, I'm trying to think of modern football clubs, you know, thinking about Real Madrid or Barcelona. You know, he's not a Jude Bellingham, he's not a Vinicius, he's not a Yamal, he's not a Lewandowski, he's not any of those players, is he? You know, even like at the time when Dennis Bergkamp arrived in England, Bergkamp was a second striker. Like you could say Cantona was a second striker, but completely different styles of football, even though they sort of technically filled sort of a similar role, didn't they, for their clubs? But, you know, like you say, that modern equivalent maybe doesn't exist. Have you got a lasting memory of Cantona? You talked earlier, Gary, about the chip with the collar up and that look round Old Trafford.
I think that's the one that always sticks in my mind. I say my daughter's a Man United fan, so we've watched a lot of Manchester United games on Sky because obviously that's what you want to do. But that was the one that sort of sticks in my mind. And if that speaks of Cantona, the goal, not only the goal because it was exquisite chip. Was it Arsenal? I think it was Arsenal. I can't remember. Anyway,
I remember it because it was Sunderland.
Was it Sunderland? Oh, well, you would do in that case, yeah.
Yeah.
So you're from Cheltenham, yeah. So, I mean, the skill to score the goal, but then this sort of presence just to stand there, not run about. I'm not doing that. I'm not running about. Look at me. And he just looked that sort of, I mean, yeah, that's it. Not only was he an icon, Rob, he knew he was an icon as well.
I have a weird theory about that goal that could be completely wrong.
Go on.
But I think that's the moment he knows he's going to retire at the end of that season, because he's got that sort of adulation, that moment from the Old Trafford crowd, and he just kind of thinks, you know, this is me. I'm not going to get any more than this.
He ain't going to get no better.
I'm not going to get any younger. I'm not going to get any better. I'm carrying this team to like another title, and then that's it. And I always wonder about, I mean, I could be just absolute pie in the sky, but I just kind of feel like it's such a moment of where you're taking everything. And you very rarely see footballers actually do
it's
that,
true. It's
you know,
true.
in the moment of a match. But maybe Cantona was not. Maybe we can think that he did that anyway.
That's Eric.
That is Eric, and that is where we're going to end. That is Eric, and that probably sums him up better than anything else, and a true icon of the 1990s, still an icon of Manchester United's history. We will be back with more icons in these Football Times series. But from me and Gary and Eric, we'll see you next time.
Many thanks for joining us today on The Lob, a These Football Times production. For more of our content, check out our award-winning print magazine featuring some of the game's foremost writers, artists and photographers, exploring areas of the game rarely covered in high-end print. For now, we look forward to you joining us again soon.